If you know your Manolos from your Jimmy Choo's, it's likely that you're delighted that Samantha, Charlotte, Miranda, and Carrie arrive on the big screen today. And you may also be worried about hearing too much before you get a chance to see the movie for yourself. So Bob Mondello has promised to review Sex and the City, the movie, without giving away anything crucial.
It's 4 years since the TV finale, and the gals are all past 40 now, but much as they were when their fans last saw them, Charlotte's still the wide-eyed dreamer with her adopted daughter in tow. Cynical Miranda can still be prickly, perhaps because of that commute from Brooklyn. Samantha's live-in Hollywood hunk is not enough to keep her from feeling constricted by monogamy, and Carrie? Well, let her tell it over lunch.
The other night, Bing and I were talking about, you know, moving in together and our future and, you know, what makes sense as we move forward. And, well, we decided to get married.
And I'm deaf.
Oh, I'm so excited!
Everybody is looking.
Sorry! I'm so sorry, everyone, but this is my friend, and she just got engaged, and she has been going out with the man for 10 years!
After the restaurant applause, of course, there are questions about gowns and venues and the apartment that Biggs promised to equip with a closet the size of an airplane hangar.
So he bought it, and you'll live there with him?
Yes, together, that's right.
But he'll own it, so you're keeping your own place, right?
Oh, Miranda, I haven't figured out the details yet, but I'm a smart girl. I'm sure I'll figure out something that I'm very comfortable with.
I just want to be sure that you're being smart here.
And I love you for that, but for now, can't you stop worrying for me and just go ahead and feel what I want you to feel? Jealous. Oh, jealous of me living in this gorgeous penthouse in Manhattan.
All right, I'm jealous.
Oh, thanks.
Enough. That's no more than 25 minutes in, and that's all I'm saying about plot. If you follow the show, you'll be pleased to note that in addition to pink cocktails and much ado about Louis Vuitton, mostly prompted by the presence of former dream girl Jennifer Hudson, there are emotional crises galore, also a trip to Mexico for a change of scenery, and three separate fashion parades, one of which involves wedding gowns that make Sarah Jessica Parker appear to be drowning in everything from whipped cream to popcorn. As on TV, everyone has conflicts, but Carrie's are central, and her posse faces them by surrounding her with a supportive family that has nothing to do with genetics, and if this fabulous foursome is self-absorbed enough to be inadvertently cruel on occasion, they also suffer lots of guilt when they are. Their angst made somewhat less angsty for viewers by the zingers, the designers, and the cheerfully objectified men on display. Writer-director Michael Patrick King, who shepherded the show through its last couple of seasons, knows what fans like and is providing close to 5 TV episodes worth in the movie, roughly 2.5 hours. That'll be a little much for non-fans, but it seemed just right for the crowd at the press screening I attended, in spite of some projection glitches. When the framing slipped at one point so that microphones were suddenly visible at the top of the screen, but you couldn't see anyone's shoes, you could feel the energy go out of the auditorium. And there were some gasps at the very beginning when the projectionist started with the wrong widescreen lens, which turned the heroines into plus-size dames walking arm in arm. Not quite the expansion to the big screen the capacity crowd was expecting. But apart from those one-time glitches, this celebration with Carrie and company, very much television writ large, seemed precisely the Sex and the City reunion that fans had hoped for. I'm Bob Mondello.
This is NPR, National Public Radio.